Pizza Noir by Denver Day, Book 1, Chapter 2. I drove back and parked by the entrance and did my parking lot duty for about 90 minutes. I made note of all the faces I saw coming and going and jotted down license plates by the dashboard light. Every 30 minutes or so, I strolled around the lot and had a smoke to be seen and see. But you can't just hang out in the parking lot all night. It's not sociable. The doorman sat on a bar stool under the eave near the northwest corner of the building. He was not much more than a lit cigar, squared away with a crew cut and a boxy brown coat. The cover charge was a Jackson note. It was a skin joint called Diddler on the Roof, and it was crowded. Saturday. It seemed less humid, or at least different humid on the inside. The thick smoke dried the air out, and the HVAC did something new with the building's dew point and temperature. Something that wasn't going on outside, wet as it was, also it might have to do with the source of the humidity, as from within there was a lot more evaporating sweat and alcohol and other designer odors. Ah, summer nights. There was an elaborate stripper pier occupying the relative center of the main room with a trapdoor egress whence the dancers would emerge and withdraw back into after performing their numbers. There was a long, 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 long bar across the north wall of the big room occupied by a busy, busy, busy and accordingly sizable bar staff. It looked like the younger, hipper martini crowd in here, but there was probably some whiskey back there somewhere, I thought. In my coat, my shoes were black, so my lightly worn baby face didn't stick out too bad. Time was pushing for the witching hour, and I hailed one of the barkeep. Ordered a neat glass and had her provide me with some petty cash. The entire ceiling was mirrored, the girls dancing on the stage, including the pie man's widow. Carrie Anders rotated through as the night proceeded. Her jig was not unlike Palomita's routine from the opening scene of El Rey Rodriguez's Planet Terror. Tears, melodrama, allegorical projection, and all that goes along with it. It was really made for evocative artistic experience, and it was, of course, misunderstood by nearly everybody, including me and maybe her too, to some degree or another. An island, a beacon, she, what a rock. Some of the dancers, as had Miss Anders when she answered my knock at her apartment earlier that day, had failed to completely get all the cocaine off their faces and bodies before they emerged from the hooker door on the stage floor. Furthermore, despite the mirrors on the ceiling and the criminal codification of the substance, again honking it right out loud seemed passé among the patrons as well as the staff. Anyway, I'm not one to criticize or judge, and I quit paying attention to politics years ago when I quit the working press. But I would prefer swinging doors in a jukebox and wobbly and graffitied tables, plaid and nostalgic aroma of beer and grass, what to me represents simpler times. Anyway, tonight is these people's off, not mine. And all the yayo in the air gave me the jitters and made me have to take a crap again. The usual workplace hazards. Turns out for me, I put a couple of Jacksons in Miss Palomita's holster and gave her a smile, and she gave me the crocodile eye. And by now, it was about 2:30, and the place was about to close while a crowded bang emerged from the west side of the room, chased by shattering glass and brawling ball of about 20 people kicking the shit out of whomever let loose into the ceiling mirror with their Roscoe. And I took this opportunity to mosey around past that particular clusterfuck back out to the car. I idled around back again, turned on some instant classic amplitude modulation signals, and watched the foot traffic coming out the back door. Ms. Anders left with the dude who had brought the takeout dinner backstage earlier that evening. But they drove to the inn just a half block away, and it looked like most of the staff, or many of the club patrons, were headed the same way. Though they just walked the short distance from the club, anyway. Apparently a regular after-hours ritual in the neighborhood. The lobby of the roadhouse next door was crowded with blinking patrons whose eyes were adjusting to the relative light and quiet compared to that of the heavily black-lit nightclub scene they just left. There was a lounge on the north side of the ground floor with a fully active bar offering additional darkness and humidity, into which the crowd was making its way. There was a jazz lounge band playing steadily ahead into the wee 3 o'clock hour, a Murph in the Magic Tones style of outfit. Miss Anders sat at a booth on the south side of the lounge along with an Asian Chinese takeout man and four other dudes. One of those dudes broke out a big ball of Andes Mountain Marching Dust, and they all went to town with it at their booth table. Or Al Ciudad. The smooth lounge jazz heated up slightly, and I'm sure the lounge bar had whiskey. But I ordered a stout ale instead. I had a smoke with one of the sax players when the band took five, and found it unusual and refreshing to find the lady sax player. She said this nightclub migration was a regular nightly phenomenon here, and translating into a very solid and steady gig for the band, and to the pleasure of all parties concerned, good business for the club's working girls, she observed, as well as the hotel's shareholders and the patrons et al. Some were one and the same. The scene throbbed and pulsed like a black hole. I took her card. I told her I'd like to get a coffee with her sometime when I wasn't working. She said yes. The band went back to work, and I mine following Ms. Anders and her five dates up the crowded stairs. She noticed me in the lounge, and when she saw me on the stairs, invited me into the suite for an after-hours drink. The green shag-carpeted suite was itself too crowded. Miss Anders seemed the woman of the hour. I excused myself from the den and walked to the restroom to free the stout ale, making note of the faces I encountered in the suite. As I emerged from the toilet, I looked over at the plush sofa to see Anders then on her back. This is just minutes later, with two of her dates underneath her and two more guys on top of her and several more fucking her head, but she looked like a spider with each arm holding a different insect. From her crowded mouth came a sound like a bobcat and a wood chipper, like an heuristic fleshy airlock, she, with spare plugs orbiting in the wake, and I hadn't expected to get a look at so many tattoos. And it looked like I'd have to wait until tomorrow to have any further verbal contact with Carrie Anders. It was getting pretty early anyway. I zipped my coat, made my way to Joe's Coffee.